Let's close our eyes for a second and let's just invite more and more of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we need more, more and more. We are not satisfied with a trickle. We need more, like a waterfall. Lord, pour out your Spirit upon us until we are overwhelmed, O God. Jesus. By the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that you will flood into this house, O God. Thank you for this house. Thank you for Apostle Clay Nash. Thank you for the team here, O God. Thank you. As that precious sister said, Lord, I pray you will release City Gate Church to the destiny these days, that it will be a mountain for the Lord, shining light bright and clear to the nations, O God. We thank you. We thank you for the worship team. We thank you for every person here right now gathered here. Hallelujah. I sprinkle the blood of Jesus Christ over everyone sitting here. Every evil work, every evil hindrance, every opposition against the word of God, against the worship of God, let it come down now in the name of Jesus. Every evil worker troubling, tormenting people, I command it to die by fire in the name of Jesus. Reba Baba Judah Baba, yes. By the blood and the word of our testimony, we prevail. Yes. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered in the name of Jesus. No demon, no evil should stay in people's lives. We are the people of God. We are destined to reign and rule, and we will conquer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Good to see you all again. And I want to continue about reigning in life, because it's amazing how God has been talking about this theme to many leaders. In the last few weeks, I met several other men of God, and God has poured out this theme to many people. It's time for us to reign, to take our position as kings and priests and reign. So let's go to the first slide here. And this was the verse that we discussed last time. It says, thou hast redeemed us to God. Thou means Jesus. He has redeemed us to God by your blood, by his blood, and made us unto our God kings and priests. A king is supposed to rule. A king is supposed to reign, not the other way around. We are supposed to rule over life and not life ruling over us. We discussed that last time. Kings and priests. Next slide, please. And again, we looked at this time, this one too last week or the week before. It says, why one man's offense, death reigned, much more they who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through Christ Jesus. So one of the key fundamental things about redemption is that we reign in life. God wants to restore our position as kings and priests. Because what happened in the Garden of Eden was, by Adam's offense, death reigned. In other words, everyone who was born after Adam were declared sinful or sinner. A brand was put on you, no matter you sinned or not. David said it this way, in my mother's womb itself, he was what? Declared sinful. He says he inherited the sin nature. Even though you might not want to sin, you're still carrying the sin nature because of one man's offense. And as I said, the Son of God looked at it in the grand scheme of things and he said, that's not fair. Because of someone's offense, why should everyone else carry the baggage? And so what did he do? And it says, through one man's sacrifice, through the gift of righteousness, now we are all made or declared righteous. So there's a new brand upon us, and it's called righteous. We are stated righteous. It's not by what you did or what you do or what you're doing, by the cosmic transaction that happened through the finished works on the cross. Everyone now who is born again, repented and baptized in Christ, have been declared righteous. And now God wants us to operate in that mentality as kings and as priests. Remember last time I told you, just as you were declared sinful, even before you committed your first sin, Okay? You were declared sinful even before you committed your first sin. Similarly, you are now declared righteous even before you committed your first righteous act. Think about it for a second. And it's through that righteous spirit now he's calling us to reign in life. All the flesh baggage, all the flesh inheritance now have been condemned in his flesh. When Christ took the cross, all the sins of man, all the works of your flesh has been condemned in his flesh. It's done. We still mess up. We still have some hang-ups, but that's not what dictates our identity anymore. We move and operate in the spirit identity. Next verse, please. Next slide. So we'll go to the theme here this week, which is conquerors in Christ Jesus. And what are some of the weapons you're going to use daily to reign in life? So Romans 8:37 says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. We conquer. That's our nature. We are called to overcome. We are called to possess. We are called to take land. We conquer. That's why in Deuteronomy 1:8, God told them, Israelites, behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land. Same exhortation is for all of the New Testament Christians today. I have now given you all the world. All authority has been given unto me. Now go forth. Go and possess the land. Amen. As I mentioned, the shift in mentality has to happen before we can truly conquer, truly overcome. It was Matt who, at the stage, he was talking about forgiveness. None of those qualities that the Bible promotes can be adhered to, can be obeyed by our flesh. No matter how good I portray forgiveness or kindness, you and I cannot do it. I can study about forgiveness, I can talk about forgiveness, but it's very difficult to forgive someone or somebody by our own heart. What I've learned is the only way to do anything that the Word is asking us to is to be filled over and over again with the Holy Spirit. Meaning, you have to be exposed to environments of the Spirit over and over and over again until a true shift happens in your heart. This is nothing man-made. New revelations will come forth. New nature and new characters comes forth when the Holy Spirit descends on you, not a trickle, but in a mighty fashion. The Bible says in the Old Testament, Saul, when the prophet laid hands on him, became like a transformed man. He was completely transformed. When the anointing comes upon people, suddenly there is a transformation that is very unrecognizable. Remember last time I said, when the fishermen like Peter and the tax collectors started ministering, they were like, aren't these unlearned men? How come they speak with such eloquence? That's what happens when the Spirit of God comes upon us. So what's the antidote to all these struggles that we are going through? Whether it's unforgiveness, lust, addiction, condemnation, what is it? It's the presence and Spirit of God. Not all churches carry it. Not all ministers carry it. You can bark like a dog, but you might not be a dog, right? So many ministers carry the Bible and the Word, but there is no anointing. As a result, churches are struggling, people are struggling, lives are bleeding. What we need is a double dose of the Holy Spirit. We just need more and more of the presence of God. Hallelujah. The more presence hits you, as I mentioned last time, it's like the chemotherapy for cancer patients. When the radiation hits the cancer cells, it mutates, it transforms the cells, and it goes into a form of healing. And in our case, we take the radiation of the Holy Spirit, but no one wants to wait on God. That's a problem. You know, when you have cancer or some disease, you know, most people are okay with lying on that table or the bed for hours. But if I ask someone, how many hours do you spend in the presence of God? 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, 5 minutes there, Caleb here and there. That's not enough, my friends. If you want to walk in heavy, saturated anointing of God, you got to shut your door, fall on your face, and just lie down there until you're drenched with the Holy Spirit. All you got to say, come Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, because he's paid the price for your sins. That's not going to stand in the way. All he needs is you. He just needs you to just fall down in his presence. Shut the. This is what Jesus said. Close the door behind you. Come to the Father in secret, in private, and I will reward you openly. A lot of people are rewarded publicly. You know why? Because they have a private prayer life. Don't be jealous of them. Don't be envious of them. A lot of Christians operate in a different realm because they pay a sacrifice. They pay a price in the background. They fast. They pray. They spend time in the presence of God. They pursue God. We got to remove all the passivity out of our lives. Passive Christians are no good Christians. This is why Jesus said in the book of Revelation, either be hot or cold. Don't be lukewarm, and I'll spit you out of my mouth. We got to be on fire for God. It's not an afterthought. God cannot be an afterthought. He should be the center and prime thing of your life. In your sitting, in your standing, in your lying down, it should be God always. That he should be consumed by God, or else quit this religion. You don't need this. Because Christ don't need us either like that. He said, I'll spew you out of the mouth. Either be hot, either be passionate for God, or go enjoy the world. Why you want to be miserable in the church? Neither here or there. Take a stand. Thank you, Jesus. So the land is before us. All things have been released unto us. Our call is to go and possess it now. Nothing stopping us. Not, as I mentioned now, not our skin color, not our financial backgrounds. Nothing stopping us. We now march forward in Christ, and we conquer. We possess. Next one, please. So the three R's, God is calling us to recover what is being stolen. Restore to your plan and purpose in God, and then be revived in the Holy Spirit, full of life. Because the Son of God, if you know this verse, 1 John 3:8, he says, one of the primary purposes Christ came was to destroy the works of the devil. Devil had done a lot of trickery, as I mentioned last time. He deceived man into sin. Adam and Eve didn't voluntarily sin. Did you know that? Bible says Satan deceived Eve. It was a deception. And through that deception, the consciousness got marred. It got erred. It's messed up that they started to run away from God. Even though they didn't have to carry any responsibility of that, because of the sin, what happened? Their consciousness got distorted, and they started to run away from God now. Now God is running toward them and saying, my children, come back. And this purpose he was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Very important part of Christianity. Devil had done a lot of damage to the human race. All the racial prejudice, discrimination, whatever you see in this world, it's all the work of the devil. He sowed tares. This was not plan of God. Now God has sent his son, and now us, to restore the world into its original plan. Amen. And Joel says, I will restore. God says in the book of Joel, I'll restore to you the years the locust had eaten. A lot of us are sitting here with delays in life, a lot of promises and potential, but it hasn't come forth yet because the enemy kept delaying. Locust has eaten it. Canker worm and caterpillar and the palmer worm, different kind of demonic warfare talked about here. We had a lot of expectations, but things seem to keep on delaying year after year. This is the devil's tactic. But God says, I'll restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. Amen. Who wants restoration here? Who wants recovery? Everything that the enemy has stolen. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the enemy has to restore sevenfold what he has stolen from you. Once you rise up in your identity, you're going to recover it all. You're not going to let go of anything. Every year that had been stolen, all the stuff that had he taken from you, you're going to recover it. Hallelujah. Next one, please. So one of the main goals of the church body itself is to equip you to come to the stature as a king and a priest. Church is not for, you know, football or hot dogs and fun. You know, it's good on the side. But the main goal of church is to get people back on their feet as Christ ambassadors, as kings and priests, as gods. This is why we have church. We have to get people back, and so that we'll be a powerful army shaking the whole world. So in the book of Ephesians, Paul says, until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, as we mature, what? To the full measure of the stature of Christ. So God's expectation is not that we become juniors in Christ, but we reach the full stature. Just as Christ was, we operate here. Not that, look at that last word, 1 John 4:17. As Christ is, even so are we in this world. So this is full delegated authority, full empowerment to operate like Christ here. And even greater works, Jesus said, you will do. Hallelujah. And Paul says in the book of Galatians, my dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you again. And they will continue until Christ is fully developed in you. So this is not just a seeker-sensitive church back then, right? Bring you up here, say a nice cute message and feed you popcorn. But what is Christ travailing for, Paul travailing for? He wanted every member of the church to be fully developed in Christ and Christ consciousness. The mentality, he said, I'm not going to be satisfied until every single member in the church operates fully like Christ. And for that, the consciousness has to be healed, revived, and be released. You have to see yourself only in the spirit. If you look at your flesh, there are so many weaknesses. But you have to disconnect. You have to separate from that duality. There's a duality operating, the conflict between flesh and the spirit. But you have to disconnect from your flesh identity completely and say, I am a son of God. I carry the spirit of God. I am not my flesh. This is how Paul said it. He said, no good thing dwelleth in my flesh. I long to do right, but I don't do it. But he doesn't take responsibility for that. He said, the flesh that I live in do it. So he's disconnected from his flesh identity. Even though he sees weaknesses in his flesh, he doesn't brand himself based on what his flesh does. He separated himself from what the flesh is, his flesh is. And he looks at himself only in the Christ identity. That's it. And that's why he said, I'm travailing until Christ is fully developed in you. We cannot operate, we cannot proclaim healing, deliverance, etc., until our heart comes to that full stature in Christ. You know that? Signs and wonders, we all are praying. I've seen revival movements all across the nation praying, Lord, send signs and wonders. But signs and wonders cannot come forth until Christ takes full possession in you, meaning in your consciousness, in your mentality. And then you operate without condemnation, you operate in full freedom, you operate in full confidence. And then when you say in the name of Jesus, demons, go, it'll go. Because now you're not operating out of your, you know, your flesh identity. Dan is not saying, I'm Dan from Mississippi. No, instead he said, I am a son of God. I belong to Zion. I belong to Jesus Christ. And in the name of the Lord, I cut that Philistine off. That's how David operated. When the whole Israelites saw Goliath and said, oh man, 10 feet tall, how can we cut him off? David came and said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who will defy the armies of the living God? The small boy came and cut that man's neck out. That's how when you operate in covenant, that's what happens when you operate in your Christ identity. You don't look at your flesh weakness at that time. You don't look that you're only 4 feet tall or 100 pounds weight. You operate in the weight of your spirit. You operate in the weight of your covenant with Christ. And you move forth. Next one, please. Hallelujah.
So what's happening is the devil from the Garden of Eden, even today, there's a daily battle at the gates. The battle is for your consciousness. He does not want you to transition fully into your identity as a son of God. He doesn't. So look what he does in Psalm 62 verse 3. How long will you assault a man or a woman? Would all of you throw him down? Like a leaning wall, like a tottering fence, they plan to cast him down from his exalted position. This is the devil's daily plan. He wants to cast us down into this pit of self-pity and gloom and doom, and so that we are like the salt that lost its flavor. This is devil's daily battle, to bring condemnation, to tell you how useless you are, to show forth all your weaknesses and make you so paralyzed that you can't even move. Look at that last word. They plan, the Bible says, the devil or the enemies plan to cast the people of God down from their exalted position. They don't want you and I to reach that consciousness level. This is why I said passive Christians can't do nothing. Because to enter into this place of consciousness, of mentality, there is a little work involved. This is why in the book of Hebrews says, therefore, let us diligently labor to enter into the rest. Until you enter into the rest, there is some work involved. You got to shut your TVs off. You got to turn the phone off. You got to spend some time in the presence of God consistently. And once you enter the place of rest, then there is no stopping you. No enemies can prevail against you. You know, coming from another nation, I think the greatest handicap with American Christianity is the culture here. You know, even good Christians are entangled with the culture. American culture is not the biblical culture. We are called to a consecrated living. We are called to shut off from the world by and large. A lot of separation has to happen between us and the world. Doesn't mean we, you know, look weird and act funny. But our mind has to be shut off from some of the distractions and temptations and lusts of this world that keeps entangling. This is why Apostle Peter said, do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. This is the work that is involved in Christianity, that we got to actively separate ourselves from this world. And if you can do that part, God will take you to the place of rest, meaning mental rest, where you operate from the confidence in the finished works of Christ. Until then, you are like the waves tossed to and fro. Will it work? Will it not work? Am I really Christ or am I a sinner? You're not fully sure. There is some work involved. And Psalm 56 verse 1 says, my enemy fights me. How often? Weekly? Monthly? Daily. That's what I said. You know, either be a Christian or go back to the world. If you want to be serious about it, there's a daily battle going on. He will not give you an inch until you fight it. My enemy fights me daily and oppresses me. Jesus. You know, I start some of my days like this. So when I wake up, I say, in the name of Jesus, I seal this day with the blood of Jesus Christ, and I prohibit the enemy from coming near my property, my wife, my children, my job, my career. I take advance offensive weapons before he attacks my day. I just take control over it earlier. I say, I seal the blood of Jesus. I seal my atmosphere, my home, my job, my vehicles with the blood of the Lamb. You have no right. It's paid for. So we got to make declarations like that at the start of the day. Don't wait till everything is broke to come and cry out to God. God is calling you to operate in advanced intelligence as a king and a priest. You totally rule and dominate your life. Jesus. Hallelujah. Next one, please. So the last week we looked at some of the points, as Dan said. I'm just going to hit again one point of this. There are several more, but I'm just going to talk to you about the word today. A king's word carries power. Hallelujah. Because if you can just concentrate and grasp this aspect, I think you'll start to reign in life starting now. Next one, please. Next verse. Next slide. So the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So we are living a daily warfare. The Bible says the enemy attacks us daily. And so he says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. I heard recently there was a deliverance seminar somewhere happening, and half or 20 or more people who fell down were pastors. Meaning, what of the people, ministers, are demon-possessed? Why? Because nobody is teaching spiritual warfare. People are not operating in this kind of understanding. They just think life is all, you know, merry, joy, jolly, carry all the bondages till the death. No. Look at the verse again. To the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds, what is a stronghold? A stronghold is a fortress. No one can come in, no one can go out. That's how a stronghold is built. In other words, when you are stuck in a stronghold, you can't get out, and neither will he let anyone to help you out. It's completely locked out. So you're stuck for years. No one can come inside to help you, neither can you go out. So Paul says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So don't run to the doctor or to the counselor right away, because this is a spiritual warfare first. Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that shatters the rock. Amen. So the word of God, through the anointing of God, is the only thing that can break and demolish strongholds. So that's why I said a king's word carries power. Glory. Next one, please. Let's go in detail about the word. King's word, we looked at this last time. Where the word of the king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what are you doing? Can you go to a king and ask him, what are you doing? He might chop your neck off. And it says, you shall decree a thing and it shall be established. This is a privilege of kings. So his word carries immense power. Next one. Next slide, please. So I want you to just dissect this word, because so that you can also operate in this power, okay? Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that we now see, whatever we see today, the whole universe, did not come from anything that can be seen. Think about it for a second. So all created things have been formed by some invisible things. Anybody, what are those invisible things? Word and? Let's go to the spirit. Let's go to the next verse. Next slide, please. So Genesis 1:3 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be. Two things, two invisible things used to create the whole world. Number one, what is it? Verse 2 says, the Spirit of God, the invisible Spirit of God, hovered or moved upon the face of the earth. So number one is spirit, and number two is what? Word, or the sound of God. I won't even take it to the next level. The sound of God. It's very important. Anybody can read the Bible, but not all sounds carry anointing. So the sound of God combined with what first? The Spirit of God. This is what makes difference. When the Spirit of God is with you and you decree a thing, there is power in it. But if the Spirit of God is not with you and you decree a thing, nothing will happen. So word alone won't work, or sound alone won't work. It has to be combined with what? The Spirit. So look at that combination in the Genesis. The whole universe, the world was created like that. At first, Spirit took over the atmosphere. It hovered, and then God spoke. So even in a glory-filled environment like this, once you experience the Spirit of God operating in you, you make declarations, and it will come to pass. Hallelujah. Look at verse 2. I want to also you to think about this. No, go back again, please. And the earth was without form and void. A lot of lives are like that today. Plenty of people's lives are without form, without any order. Just like the earth. The only remedy is, you have to allow the Spirit of God to hover over your life. When the Spirit of God hovers over our lives, there suddenly brings order, proper discipline. In all aspects, there is a beauty that comes in when you allow the Holy Spirit comes in. This is why church has been fighting against the Spirit. Look at all the denominations. They are okay with justification, sanctification, all this theology stuff. But when it comes to Holy Spirit, they shut off. Because without the Spirit, it is without form and useless. You can have a form of godliness, but there's no power. We need the Holy Spirit, my friends. Show them the power of the Spirit. All these denominations that really don't, they say the gifts have ceased, Spirit is, I don't know what they say, but we need the Holy Spirit. That's how the whole earth was formed. Otherwise, even individual lives, societies, communities, nations, without the Spirit of God, it is useless and void. Look at all the nations of the earth that doesn't serve the true God. It is a chaos there. Until missionaries from this country and other nations go forth and bring the light, there is no hope for these nations. The devil makes it a heap of ruins. This is why there is so much fight and resistance against missionaries going to other nations now. They're making laws now. You can have a Buddhist come anywhere, they don't care. You can have a Muslim go anywhere, they don't care. But if a Christian missionary steps in, there is now different laws. You can't carry Bible, you can't take this, you can't take that. Because why? The devil very well knows when the Spirit of God sweeps over a nation, it starts to fall into order. The light of God comes in and pushes out darkness. Hallelujah. Jesus. So the Word of God is not just a written word or just a mere word, but it's a sound of God. So in scientists found out that, you know, if you studied your physics and the science stuff, you know that the smallest part, you know, component of any object, whether it's this, or in our human body, is a neutron or electron within a subatom, within an atom, okay? A subatomic particle like a neutron or proton is the smallest component. But they recently found out that there's something even smaller than that. Let's go to the next video and play that video, please. Actually, I don't think there's sound. Can you play the sound there or no? So this is the CBS News, okay? This is not some, you know, mom and pop shop here. So if you can, that's okay. I want you to pause at one place, okay? So I forget his name, Scott Kelly, right?
That must give mass to everything in the universe.
Go back from the beginning, please.
We got word today that scientists believe they have now confirmed the discovery of the so-called God particle. Physicists have long theorized that there is a subatomic building block that exists that must give mass to everything in the universe, hence the nickname. But they had never seen the particle called the Higgs boson. Last summer, they announced the world's largest atom smasher may have found the first evidence that it exists, and now they are saying new evidence strongly indicates that they found it. Probably a Nobel Prize in that.
So look at this. The smallest component is not now a neutron or a proton. It's sound wave. It's a dancing particle. The sound waves in any object you look at. Go to the next slide. This is why Christ said, if you don't cry out, the very stones will cry out. Everything created has been created with what? The sound of God. And so his vibrations are on everything. And so scientists now found out that the smallest thing is not a neutron or a proton, it's a sound wave. Wow, amazes me. This is why the King's word carries power. Everything that you see, that you touch, is created by sound. Sound wave. You saw the dancing particle. And you saw the machine that used to get into that level of detail. It's not a joke. So even the world is now giving us more, you know, evidence or more facts to understand that the word of God, the sound of God, carries a lot of power. Look at Luke 8, verse 25. The people talk about Jesus. They said, who is this man? When he gives a command, even the wind and waves obey him. Did you notice that Jesus didn't rebuke Satan when the storms came? He spoke directly to the waves and the winds because they also carry sound. They were all created by the sound of God. And everything has to submit to the name of Jesus. When he says, be still, it will be still. Because he is the creator and the author of this universe. That's why every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That'll happen. And all the nations of the earth will mourn when they see him. They'll understand, oh my God, what have we missed? Hallelujah. Psalm 29 verse 4 says, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And his temple, and in his temple all cry glory. Someone shout glory. Yes. That's the power in the voice of the Lord. Jesus. It brings life. It brings life. That's why I said, wherever, whichever city you go, wherever you go, find a place where there's the anointing of God. Don't settle for the church building and the cute dresses and clothes. Find out where the anointing is. Because that's what will make a shift in your life. The voice of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Next one, please. Sound vibrations released even from the creative works. If you wake up in the morning and go to your backyard, if you're not living in a very busy city, just hear the sounds. Trees rustling, birds chirping. Look at this. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all stars of light. Praise him, highest heavens. And the waters that are above the heavens, let them praise the name of the Lord. For he commanded, and they were created. Even the whole creation is going through a chorus. Jesus. It's vibrating. The world is trying its best to silence that noise, but it cannot be contained. No enemy can prevail against the voice of God. It's powerful. Hallelujah. So, one is the declaration, I said, that you make in the Spirit of God. It's very important. We have to take time to get saturated with the Spirit and then release the words that will bring forth what it is supposed to manifest. Very important. And if you are not at that level, find people, men and women who are at that level, and let them help you through in the first few years. Because we can't run this alone. I've seen Christians trying to, you know, think that they can pray it on their own. No, we got to run it together. We need a team. Next one, please. Sound in worship. If you look at it, Psalm 47:1 says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Church service is not like a funeral home service. Real anointed church services would be just so noisy. When it will be just, the earth will shake. That's how much noise would be there. You've seen the traditional denominations where they won't use drums, they won't have an organ or... That is not Bible. The Bible says, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. There's a shout that goes out. There's a noise that goes out that knocks out the enemy. That knocks out the challenge that you were facing the previous week. Clap in the book, in the word Hebrew, clap means taga, means to drive a nail or a ten pin. To nail down, to strike down, to smite down. Every time you clap your hands with full energy, you strike down the enemy. You pin him down. This is why worship is so powerful. In real spirit-filled worship, God ambushes your enemies. He destroys them utterly, that the next week you will not see the same Egyptians that you saw yesterday. Hallelujah. And then he goes on to say in Psalm 47 verse 5, praise him with a shout. Shout, Hebrew word is ruah, means to mar or to completely disfigure by breaking or splitting. So every time you shout, you split the ears of the devil. You split him apart. Yeah. Every time you clap your hands and you shout unto God. Come on, people, let's come on. Just shout unto God. Clap your hands for a second. Hallelujah. Glory. Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. God told Israelites to march on the walls of Jericho for 7 days. First day, nothing happened. Second day, nothing happened. Sixth day, nothing happened. And on the seventh day, after they finished the march, nothing happened. Then they shouted. And then the walls came down. Many people are waiting for the walls to come down to shout, but you need to shout before the walls come down. You need to shout in advance so that the walls will come down. Don't wait until everything is figured out to praise God. Praise Him anyway. Hallelujah. For He's preparing a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Hallelujah. Jesus, trust in Him. Trust in the Lord. Acknowledge Him, and He will establish you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory. I feel the anointing. Jesus. Okay, next one, please. Hallelujah. So get into the presence of God. Very important. Get saturated. As I mentioned, daily make it a habit to start at least with 15 minutes. Doing nothing. Close the door. Just soak in the presence of God. Just get immersed in His presence. This is why Jesus told the disciples, go and tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from above. Everybody wants to do ministry. Everyone wants to do good stuff, but not empowered to do so. There's no power in random ministry. We got to be endured by the power of the Spirit, then be released, then we are effective. Otherwise, it's just mere words going forth. I've heard preachers preach about encouragement and this and that, just encourage one another. Without the Spirit of God, it's all temporary. I can, Dan might be going through a financial distress right now, and I just speak, hey, Dan, everything will be okay. Doesn't make any good, actually, to be honest with you. You got to mean what you say, and you got to be filled with the Spirit, and so that the Spirit of God can operate. Jesus. Go back to the previous Psalm 47, because I want to read a portion from there. Psalm 47. And verse 2, I'll read it from my Bible here. Psalm 47, verse 2 says, for the Lord Most High is terrible. He's mighty. He's a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us. God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. Every time you, as I mentioned, when you sincerely, heartfelt worship, devil's grip over your lives, over your family is breaking. Matt, can you come up? Let's close it out. We can't be passive about our spiritual walk anymore. We got to give it all or do something else. God's got to be the center and the center of our universe. He's got to be. Monday through Friday, not only just Saturday, Sunday, Monday through Friday, He's got to dominate our thinking, our senses. Because He's called us as kings and priests to reign over this life, to rule over every enemy, to bring down every stronghold, so that you can operate in full freedom, in full clarity of mind, so that you will not take a step to the left or the right without hearing the counsel of God. That's how effective, pinpoint, targeted lifestyle you'll have. No more wasting of time. No more running around circles like the Israelites did. The journey was a few days, but they marched around the desert for 40 years. Because they wouldn't enter into His rest. And the Lord, Apostle Paul says, it's an example for all of us so that we don't fall in the same trap that Israelites fell. That we don't march around the wilderness of our lives for years and years and years and years. We got to stop that today. Make fresh consecrations to God. Make fresh dedication unto our God. And say, God, I repent of all my errors. Of all, like prodigal son said, Lord, I've sinned against Thee and against Thee alone. I return to Thee, O God. Forgive me of my trespasses against my fellow neighbors. Let me be full of love. Christ craved for all. He came for all. Whether it's Muslim, Hindu, Buddhists love them all. Because he died for all. And we are supposed to redeem all now. We are supposed to redeem all until they become kings and priests. Operate and enforce divine justice on earth. Execute divine will. As then we all say, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Until this place becomes like heaven. When God's people operate in love, in power, with charity for all. Lifting up the poor, healing the brokenhearted. But it starts with personal consecration. Repent. Take some time to repent of all the times when we strayed away from God. When we done wrong against our neighbors. And say, God, I want a fresh start. I want to operate in the consciousness of Christ. I want to truly operate as a king and a priest. Jesus. Come on, let's just soak in the presence. The Holy Spirit is here. Just soak it in now. God, let the Spirit of God now just be released by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Oh, just soak it in. Just breathe it in. Jesus. The fire of God falls. Undo every heavy burden. Every evil bindings. Every evil bindings in this house against the people of God here. I break it in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Every stronghold standing in the way of the people of God in this house. Let it die by fire. Let the Holy Ghost fire purge the foundations of our life. And every evil foundation inherited from forefathers, from other baggages, be burned by the Holy Ghost fire now.
Consuming fire. Oh, it's your presence, Lord. It's your presence, all we need.